that was.
All right, well, let's get started by good old fashioned, our favorite way, playing our game. All right.
We got a t-shirt left.
Got a t-shirt up here. Do I have a quarter? That's more. Yep. No, the PowerShell's, I didn't like that. That was boring.
Shane likes to manipulate the results. He picks his favorites out of the crowd.
Well, I'm seeing there's these lights right here. I'm going to try and throw the quarter into it, get blinded. All right. So if you would like to win a free t-shirt, woo, you got to play the game. And to play the game, you all got to stand up
Stand up, meet your neighbors, introduce yourself.
Come on, it's good times. Tell your friends you've played heads or tails with 1,000 of your closest friends.
I'm a grown man and I played heads or tails.
All right, so just in case we got a few new faces, I saw someone look at me and go, why the hell is he making me stand up already? I apologize.
Should we shake it up? Should we do something different?
No.
Today, instead of playing heads or tails, let's play tails or heads. Should we do that? You guys ready for some
new rules? All right, so I'm going to flip the quarter, right? You're going to put your hand on your head if you think I'm going to flip a head. You're going to put your hand on your tail if you think I'm going to flip your tail, right? The last man or woman standing is the winner.
Last man, woman, or child standing.
There are no children allowed in our sessions. That is a legal requirement.
That's right.
All right.
HR got involved.
So heads or tails, folks.
Yep.
On your head or on your tail.
We've got some return contestants here. Yep.
All right. Don't let anybody cheat. That was a bad toss.
That was terrible.
This is not going to end well.
Tails.
Whoa.
Tails.
I know.
All you folks that bribed him to do heads first.
Yeah, they gave me a quarter. All right, heads or tails, folks. Heads or tails.
Heads, tails.
Oh, wow. Most of them went right back to the heads.
Tails.
Right?
Tails.
There is a head on this quarter.
Yes,
you can confirm,
please, independent verification. All right.
I'm not cheating up here.
Not this time.
Yeah. Heads or tails.
Got a couple here. All right.
That's a much better toss.
And it's heads.
Same. Me and Jeff here, we're buddies.
Yep.
Tell you guys. All right, heads or tails? He's predicting tails. I'm just throwing it out there. He gave me $5. So. All right, ready?
Tails.
All right, Jeff says heads, I'm just saying. Heads or tails?
We're getting it down. We got, 10 or so? 15?
All right.
Getting close. The excitement's building. Heads. You realize, Jeff, you can't win now. I mean, you realize
you've been excluded. All right, heads or tails? Getting almost there. About half, all right.
Two, three. Heads.
All right, Jeff's going to tails, just in case he was wondering.
So what are we down to now? Jeff and the other
about
folks?
About six here. All right, heads or tails? Oh, look at this guy. He changed it the last second.
Oh, bold move, sir. Bold move.
And
it paid off heads. Good instincts. You should do this professionally.
All right, we got two.
Oh, are we down to two?
Yeah, heads or tails?
All right, gentlemen. All right, you agree.
Tails, heads.
Oh, goodness. I can't take it.
The excitement is too much to palate.
Tails. Oh, congratulations.
See, really, I manipulated it because it was a large t-shirt. He would think it's about a large.
I need a moment to rest. That was a good one. That was
woo. All right.
Intrigue, mystery.
So that's the most value you're going to take out of this session. So we're going to talk about upgrade, but before we do that, you get to hear, who is this Todd Clint guy?
Yep, I'm the same guy I was 2 hours ago when we did the PowerShell session. Writer, speaker, consultant. The stuff that we're going to talk about today is stuff that we've done in real life. Really upgrading customers, things like that. So it's in the trenches kind of stuff. You can read about some of it on my blog there at toddclint.com/blog. Ding. All the slides, you can see our company website is sharepoint.rackspace.com. The slides for this, the scripts for all the stuff we've done this week and for all the other rackers that have done sessions will be at sharepoint.rackspace.com/SPC. So anything you see, you don't have to take notes. It'll all be up there. You can email me or hit me up on Twitter. The information's there. And then every Monday night, because there's nothing on TV Monday nights, at least not in Iowa. So every Monday night at 8:30 Central, I do a live podcast. We talk about stuff. I'll be talking about this one on Monday. Go ahead and join in, or you can download it on Zoom, iTunes, whatever, and catch up that way.
So my name is Shane Young. I am also a SharePoint MVP for much longer than Todd, which is key.
9 months, folks. It went straight to his head.
I am from Cincinnati, Ohio. I do infrastructure stuff, consulting, training, writing, arithmetic, all that. So there's my email address. That is very helpful. I do a lot of that. My blog is below that. I do not do a lot of that.
No big loss.
And there's my Twitter. So feel free to tweet me up.
Yep, tell him how much you like me better than him, things like that. He likes that kind of stuff.
All right, so this session we're going to talk about the different upgrade methods that are available. There's a hint. It's very easy. There's only... we're going to talk about some different...
Don't spoil the ending.
...nuggets we have, some of the how-to, and then we're going to jump in and do a pretty straightforward demo, but at least walk you through the tools. If you've done a lot of upgrades from like 2007 to 2010, or even really 2003 to 2007, there were some options in there. This is going to feel somewhat similar, but at the same time, when we get to the part of actually upgrading the content and changing what the users see, that's really where we're going to see the big changes to the whole process.
Yeah, so if you need to sleep during this session, do that at the beginning, because the end is when it gets exciting.
We use that line a lot. All right. So if you did upgrade back in 2007, right, we had three different methods. We could do gradual, we could do database attach, and we could do in place.
That this was from 2003 to 2007, yep.
Lots of different options, lots of fun.
Did anybody do those kind of upgrades? What was your favorite? Shout out what you used. Database attach.
Really? I only did gradual upgrades exclusively.
Yeah, that was my weapon of choice there.
An in-place upgrade just flat out didn't work.
No, not a single time.
All right, so we went to SharePoint 2010. Microsoft hates me, so they took away the gradual upgrade.
Yep, they had to vote an upgrade method off the island, and they voted off gradual.
So upgrading from 2007 to 2010, we had database attach, an in-place upgrade, and luckily they finally invested a whole bunch to make in-place upgrade actually work from 2007 to 2010.
Yeah, they put a lot of love into it. We gave them a lot of feedback, mostly in the form of screaming at them. But they fixed a lot of the problems with the gradual, and an in-place upgrade ended up being pretty good. I got to be a big fan, kind of got close to it, got a little attached.
Sadly, now that we're in SharePoint 2013, there's only one method to upgrade.
Yep.
Database attach.
That is it. So if any of you came here to figure out what method you're going to use to upgrade to SharePoint 2013.
Check.
Yep, it's all gravy from here on out. So, yep, easy decision tree.
So database attach upgrades. So here is all of the supported databases. So these are your 2010 databases. Clearly your content databases, right? Whether that's your team sites, your portals, your My Sites, any of that stuff. Those can all be upgraded. Then from the services app perspective, if you're doing business connectivity stuff, manage metadata, performance point, secure store, just remember with secure store, in order to upgrade that one, you have to know the key. Right? When we set up a secure store, we have to generate that key. We have to put in a little passphrase. You have to have that passphrase in order to upgrade your secure store. Your user profile databases, they will happily be upgraded from 2010 to 2013.
Yep, the social and the profile databases.
Yep. And then search, some of the pieces for that, by some of the pieces, I really just mean the search administration piece, so the piece that has the configuration and stuff for search, in theory, will come over.
Yeah, and that's kind of a bummer, but if you think about where search stores all of its stuff, it's really not feasible to upgrade, because you've got part of it on the file system and part of it in the database, and you'd have to get it all copied over and in sync at the same time. So that's really not as bad as it looks.
And also, hopefully you guys, if you are looking to upgrade, you've been to some search architecture sessions already this week, and you've seen that search is pretty radically different from 2010 to 2013. So there's really not a lot of upside there to bringing those pieces in, because you're probably going to rejigger the whole system, right? There's just everything is new because we've rolled fast into the loop, so not too much there.
How many of you got folks think you're going to upgrade your service apps? Is that something people are going to do, 2010, 2013? A few of you? A
couple.
As a general rule, and this is all documented pretty well on TechNet, but as a general rule, the process is you bring your databases over, you create a new service app, and just point it at your old databases. And
magically attaches.
Do we cover that later?
We don't talk about service apps.
Yeah, so that's really what it is, because it's kind of scary. With the in-place upgrade, we had a lot of customers that had fancy stuff in SharePoint 2007, big user profile databases or something. So they would move their content around, but you just upgrade that SSP in place, and everything was there. Now with these, it's all broken out, but it's pretty simple. Just move them over, create a new managed metadata service app, and point it at your old one. SharePoint, before it creates a database, goes out, looks, and says, hey, there's already a database here with this name. And then, it's an old version. It upgrades it. It works surprisingly well.
Surprisingly is the key word there. All right. So some of the things that you need to know ahead of time, right? These are just kind of random stream of consciousness for me. I know. It's unusual for me to think. So no 2010 installed on the server, right? So that's why gradual upgrade went away and in-place upgrade went away. A SharePoint 2013, when you go to install SharePoint 2013, SharePoint 2010 cannot be on the box. And really, it should have never been there, right? Anytime we're building a new 2013 farm, we're starting with hopefully fresh hardware or fresh VMs as it is these days.
Yeah.
We're installing SharePoint for the first time. So.
Yep. Yep. And I assume most of you guys are going to install on virtualized machines. Yeah. So most any time if we're doing upgrades or whatever, just wipe the, you know, just pull up a new VM for almost any situation.
Yep.
It's just cleaner that way.
So back in the old day, when we went from 2007 to 2010, we had to have Service Pack 2 on 2007 in order to get to 2010. Now, when going from 2010 to 2013, you can just start with RTM or later, right? So as long as your SharePoint 2010 is RTM, you're good. So it doesn't matter if you patched it a little bit, patched it a lot of bit, never patched it, it doesn't matter. Now, clearly, we always push you to have that 2010 patched. Especially if you look at the life cycles, you know, as 2013 came out, most of the updates for 2010 were fixes that made it up the database's upgrade better. So I always kind of push people to get their 2010 patched and up to snuff before they try and jump to 2013. It just makes it smoother, right? All the easy, low-hanging bug fruit has been fixed at that point.
Yeah, and as a general rule, upgrade or not, you should keep your SharePoint farms at whatever the latest service pack is. You know, CUs is a different story. I don't necessarily suggest that. But, you know, if you've got a SharePoint 2010 RTM farm, you're suffering a lot more than you need to in a lot of places.
Absolutely. So. User profile probably doesn't work.
Yeah, user profile probably has never worked.
All right. The next one. So how many of you are running Office web apps today? Good portion of you. All right. So in SharePoint 2010, Office web apps had to be installed on the same box as SharePoint in your farm, correct?
Had to be.
In SharePoint 2013, Office web apps have to be installed on a separate server that is not part of your farm, is not part of SharePoint, does not have any other software installed on it whatsoever.
Yeah.
The big reason for that is Office web apps, they're just not good citizens.
They are bad neighbors.
When you patch Office web apps, the first thing it does is wipe out IIS.
Whether you were using it or not.
Can you imagine how happy SharePoint would be if Office web apps just said, hey, that IIS thing?
Yep. It's like borrowing your lawnmower and never giving it back.
So Office web apps are great, though, especially in 2013. And in 2013, Office web apps, the read portion, right, so the ability to do previews and look out in the browser, the search integration, that's all free. So if you don't, Office web apps should be in every one of your plans for SharePoint 2013. Now,
yes.
If you want to be able to edit the documents in the browser, then you need a license, right? And then there's all the shenanigans that go on with that. But the read portion of it is absolutely free, so there's no reason for every one of you not to do it as you move to 2013.
Yeah, and if you do install the Office web apps, one of the boring things with any of this is patching. And if you patch Office web apps, I can't remember which patch it was, but it added the ability to render PDFs in the browser too. So it used to just be Office docs, but then one of the patches added PDF, you know, so you can view PDFs. And then if you want to edit PDFs, if you click it, it'll automatically convert it to a Word doc and let you edit it as well. So great stuff there.
See, this is where you see the randomness of the slide, because this is a completely arbitrary thing, but add managed paths manually. So in 2007, 2003, 2010, right, all of those, we've always had the, you know, slash sites, slash site collections, right? That's just kind of how we do. It's out of the box. That one comes for free, but if you've added your own managed paths, right, so if you've created the ability to make stuff in slash departments or in slash, I don't even know, projects or
slash
customers,
slash
collab, any of those managed paths, what you want to do with your 2013, when you create the web app in 2013, you want to manually add those managed paths to that web application before attaching any content databases. If you don't, all is not lost. What will happen is when you attach a content database with some arbitrary managed path in it, SharePoint will say, you had slash customer slash one, whatever.
Right? Acme.
Very, slash Acme.
I'm a
there
big fan of their anvils.
So
Acme
when
anvils.
You add it, what will happen is the web app will automatically create an explicit managed path to slash customer slash Acme. But in reality, you had a wildcard managed path, right, of slash customers. So you want to go manually put that back into place before you do the upgrade so a bunch of explicits don't get created.
Yeah, because if you had 100 site collections under customers, instead of having that one managed path, now you'll have 100, and there's no good way out of that. And the reason that that's a problem is because that's actually a performance. Every one of those managed paths costs you just a little bit of performance. And for SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2013, there's a soft limit on the number of those you can have. They say about 20 or so.
I always try to tell people like 3, but I think 10's the doc number.
So basically what happens is when a request comes into SharePoint, SharePoint looks at the URL to figure out what it is. Is it a web? Is it a site collection? Whatever. And it runs through that list of managed paths. So you want as few of those in there every time. But again, and if you don't know what's going on when you attach that database, SharePoint won't say a peep, but you'll go into Central Admin the next time and see this whole screen full of managed paths.
So
this is another one. Always upgrade the database with the root site collection of the web app first. So as IT pros, again, I mentioned this last time, one of the things we can appreciate is being lazy, or efficient, as we like to call it. And one of the things that SharePoint does all over is it's lazy about application files and things like that, the slash layouts files. So in a lot of places, no matter how deep you are inside of the web app, it's going to reference files that it knows exist in the root of the web app, some of those underpinning files. So you always want to make sure that whichever database has the root site collection of a web app, you put that one in place first. Because if you put a different one in, a slash sites, you know, slash whatever, it's going to try to call some of those files. Weird things are going to fail. Things aren't going to show up on the page. Functionality is going to be missing. JS files, you know, can't call those. So always get that one first. If you're not ready, if you're, you know, you're retooling it or something and you want to test it, create one there. Create a blank one there. Just get something there because there's a bunch of things under inside of SharePoint that need that site collection there.
Another big rule that we have is try to use the same URLs. So, and this kind of comes into play in two ways, right? So one, it's very easy, and one of the things we're going to talk about when we do the demo is Todd and I are big fans of just go try this, right? Grab your databases and just try to upgrade them, see what happens. So when you're doing that, it's very easy to say, well, I'm going to create a web app called test.contoso.com or, you know, whatever, version 7.contoso.com, and I'll fix those alternate access mappings and all those headers and things like that later. You can. That will work. That is a functionally possible thing. But what we find is that causes you headaches down the road, right? Because now forever and ever and ever, even when you move to production, even when you go to the next version, that web app is now known as version7.contoso.com as its main name, and then your real name of portal.contoso.com becomes the underlying, you know, hidden name.
Yeah.
So what we prefer is that you create the web app as portal.contoso.com, then go through all the shenanigans to make it test.contoso.com also work, so that you're testing against that other URL, but the real URL is sitting there, so the day that you change DNS and point it at the server, all the web app is already configured to do the correct stuff. Right, so portal.contoso.com.
Yep. And in the scope of upgrade and the scope in any kind of testing, kind of what Shane is saying is, if you're creating something, create it out of the chute with whatever name will be the most correct for it. Even if that's not the name that you're going to be using immediately because of testing. Because we had a customer that didn't do that once, and they had some problems with their SharePoint server, and they stopped the web app. Microsoft SharePoint web application, Microsoft Foundation web application service instance, and that's the thing that makes SharePoint be a web front end, you know, does all the IIS stuff. They'd screwed their web config file up, and they knew if they stopped that and started that, it would refresh all that, including all the host headers that they'd added because they hadn't done their portal one first, so they had to go do some shenanigans later. They started it back up, SharePoint came back up, but the correct URL didn't work anymore. The funny one that they'd done, the version 7 or whatever, it worked fine, but the portal one didn't. So that's kind of where we got real religious about that was that experience.
Absolutely. And the last bullet point there is you need more hardware. Works out well. We work for Rackspace. We like to sell hardware. No. 2013 is, we talked about the Office web apps. They're going to be on their own box, right? So that's causing you one or two or three more extra servers. But the other thing you'll see, and we were fighting it up here on Todd's laptop again, is search is such a monstrosity in 2013. It eats SharePoint servers for lunch. So
yep.
A lot of people are having to add a dedicated search server to the environment. So
yeah. I would say on almost any SharePoint 2013 farm, it should have a dedicated search server. The other thing is, one of the big buzzwords between after SharePoint 2010 came out and before 2013 came out was this little word, social. Maybe you guys have heard of it. And so everybody's like, well, SharePoint needs to be more social. We need all this integration. And Microsoft heard you, and they built all that into SharePoint 2013, but they need their pound of flesh. And that pound of flesh is CPU. That pound of flesh is memory. So, I mean, we're going to tell you probably need 50% more oomph to do the same things in SharePoint 2013, because you've got all the social stuff running in the background, search, that kind of stuff. It doesn't mean you need 50% more servers, but if your servers are at capacity now with 2010, you're probably going to need more.
All right. So here you can see my skills as a PowerPoint creator.
This one's
right?
A good one.
This one has like 8,000 bullet points, right? Everyone agrees this is a bad slide.
It's a horrible slide.
This is the opposite end of the spectrum. We get one bullet point. So, So the reason this one's here, though, is with 2010, right, Microsoft introduced claims authentication, and they said, hey, you guys should all use it. And people like Todd and I said, no, you shouldn't, right? We were not fans of claims in 2010 because it felt like we were beta testing for them. Turns out we were correct, we were beta testing, because SharePoint 2013, now claims is the dominant beast, right? You really can't do SharePoint 2013 without moving over to claims. For example, Office web apps have to have claims, right? Office web apps only work if the SharePoint web apps are claims.
Yeah, Workflow Manager 2013 requires
all that
claims.
OAuth stuff. And
Yep. To the point where with SharePoint 2013, when you create a web app in Central Admin, you don't even have the option for Classic. SharePoint acts like it doesn't even know what Classic is in the UI. Yep. So this is good. We had a question before the session started. Somebody said, okay, I've got Classic in SharePoint 2010. And everybody does, right? Let's just assume you've all got Classic web apps in SharePoint 2010. Okay. So the question was, I know I have to go to claims. I know the end game is claims. So I see two paths to that. One path is to upgrade my web app from Classic to Claims on 2010, and then take my Claims web app over to 2013, or keep my Classic web app in 2010, move it over to a Classic web app in 2013, and upgrade it to Claims there. Kind of the two options that we have. So let me be clear, either of them is technically correct. Either of them will work. So it's kind of a preference thing. My preference is the latter. My preference, I prefer that for two reasons. The first being, this SharePoint 2010 environment over here that's currently running Classic, I assume is your production environment. That's what you're going to upgrade, right? You're not going to upgrade these test environments. So your production environment, if you want to upgrade it to claims, what are you upgrading? Production. And if something goes haywire, what do? Well, you get screamed at. Stuff doesn't work. And that's no fun. Nobody likes that. If you keep it as Classic and move it over to SharePoint 2013 and you upgrade it to claims in 2013 as a test environment and it breaks, what happens? Nobody knows. Nothing happens. So if I don't have to touch production, I'm not going to touch production. I'm going to leave production Classic because it all works. And there's a few things in 2010 that just don't work in claims. There's some search bits that don't work and some other stuff. So I'm a fan of that. The other reason is if you look online and see how do I convert a SharePoint 2010 web application from Classic to Claims, you're going to see like 7 lines of code, and there's some looping and some crazy stuff. If you look, how do I convert a SharePoint 2013 web app to Classic or to Claims, what do you see? A single PowerShell command. They actually wrote a commandlet for it. So just being lazy, it's less work to do it in 2013. So again, either method will work, but I prefer bringing it over. And to make that happen, since SharePoint 2013 doesn't let you make apps in Classic mode in the UI, you get to go out to your friend PowerShell and you get to create one there. I may have a blog post on that. We'll just assume that I do. But you create it to Classic. Now, this is where it gets tricky. I had a couple of people ask me this question a month or so ago. They brought some databases over. They were Classic databases. Brought them over to a web app, converted the web app to Claims. Everything worked great. And then they forgot a database. And the database was Classic. So they're like, what do we do? Well, they got a couple of options. One of the options is you can bring it over, attach it to your Claims web app. It's going to yell at you. Lots of red text on the screen, very condescending, finger wagging, all that. But you can also do that thing where you convert the users from Classic to Claims. So if you look under the hood, when you convert a web app from Classic to Claims, there's kind of two things that happen. One of them is at the web app level, you know, just the whole authentication piece. The other thing is SharePoint essentially does a find with replace on usernames. and it finds the classic names and replaces them with claims names. So we all know what a classic name looks like, domain, backslash, username. We've been seeing those for 100 years. Classic ones start with, you know, the colon, I, hash, W, blah, blah. So basically what happens is SharePoint walks through and replaces all those classic names with claims names. So when the claim comes in, you actually have permission to the content. So if you have a classic database and you attach it to a claims web app, you can still fix that with that new database. Or if that's kind of scary to you because you've got a web app that's already going, you can just create a temporary web app, classic, attach your classic database to it, convert it to claims, make sure everything's good to go, then detach that database from your temp web app and attach it to your production web app. And so those are the couple of the methods that we've done if you want to do gradual ones. Does that answer everybody's questions on the claim to classic? Because I've had a couple and I kind of pushed people off. Yes, sir? What's the argument for doing it on the 2010 side? I don't know that I have one. I mean, it works, and I guess, you know, some people, if they want to stage things, if they'd like to, you know, do that part first and get it out of the way, so when they bring it into 2013, I don't know.
If you have integrated reporting services, Microsoft's guidance is to do it in 2010 before going to 2013.
If you have integrated SSRS, they say to convert to claims in 2010. Interesting. I've never done it that way.
Good. Well, the good news if you're going for 2007, right, is...
You can't convert it to claims in 2007.
Yeah, there was no claims there.
No, but you have to stop at 2010, so when you take the databases up to 2010, to then bring it to 2013.
Do we have a slide on...
We don't, so let's talk about that for 1 second, right? Okay. How many of you have to go from 2007 straight to 2013?
I know there's a few of you because you come up and ask me. All right.
All right, so
Are you sure you don't want to wait till the next version? I'm just kidding.
So the short answer of how we do that, right, you kind of got to the punch there, but generally speaking, what we're going to do if you're going to go from 2007 to 2013, and it's a mostly out-of-the-box environment, right, because that's one of the key pieces of it. If it's all custom and all that, and that's what stopped you from upgrading to 2010, yeah, I can't help you there. But let's assume your 2007 is out of the box. So if that's the case, what you're going to do is you're going to grab your content databases, right? We're going to build a 2010 farm that sits here temporarily. And so when weekend comes, you know, Friday at 5, we're going to back up from our 2007, drop them on a 2010 Service Pack 2 or later box. We attach those databases there. It's going to upgrade them. Yay, they're now happy 2010 databases. And then we're just going to immediately grab that backup or make a backup of that and then take that and go database attach it to 2013. It's actually a pretty straightforward process, and depending on how much data you have and how fast you're trying to go, you can actually build that 2010 temp farm so it uses the same SQL instance, this is a little scary, but the same SQL instance as your SharePoint 2013 farm does, so that way you don't even have to move it, right? You restore it once in SQL, the 2010 can attach to it, the 2010 lets go of it, it's still sitting there, and the 2013 just attaches it, so you're not moving those database files an extra hop.
So that is a perfectly, you know, good method. And you would do that if, like Shane said, you don't have a lot of third-party customizations. Do we have a slide on how evil customizations are?
I don't know.
I think we do.
I haven't made this deck.
Okay. So if you don't have a lot of customizations, or upgrade is one of these times where you have the opportunity to fix some of the sins of the past. So if you've got, let's say, a 2007 farm that has one big site collection and like 10,000 webs and they're all deep, don't take that and upgrade it to 2013 and upgrade that to 2010, 2013. That's a bad thing. So your second option, if you don't want to do the database hop, is to use some kind of third-party software and then just go pick and choose and pull them right out of 2007 into 2013. That's your other option. That fixes two things. That fixes organizational things because you can take a web from 2007, move it over to a site collection in 2013, you know, delete it in 2007. For those of you that have 2007, how many of you have the Fab 40? The crowd, ooh. So either nobody does or you're ashamed to raise your hand.
I saw one guy back there sheepishly kind of
kind of do that and then pull it down quick. So if you have, and the Fab 40 are a poster child for horrible customizations, but if you have a SharePoint 2007 farm with the Fab 40 and you're actually using them, because every one of us that downloaded the Fab 40 immediately created 40 webs to see what each one of the things did and then left them in our farm for years to be backed up and all that. If you've got crazy site definitions or something like that, you're better off using the third-party thing and taking that poor mangled data that's in the Fab 40 and pulling it out and writing it into a team site or something, or writing some, you know, something in 2013. But that's one way to get you out of that mess too. Yeah, nothing but. So this guy said he installed the Fab 40 into SharePoint 2010, which you can do. I mean, they're
not in 2007 and migrating.
Right, but in order for that to work, so he's got Fab 40 content from SharePoint 2007, connected that database to 2010. Now he wants to go to 2013. So in 2010, let's step back. So the Fab 40 were 20 site templates and 20 site definitions. So the site templates, those are like STP files and things like that, those were based on out-of-the-box site definitions. So team sites and all that kind of stuff. Those upgrade fine all the way through. Well, as fine as anything associated with the Fab 40 upgrades. The other 20, the 20 site definitions, were those WSP files that you had to load at the farm level in central admin. So the application template.wsp and all those. If you had any of the 20 that were based on the site definition, if you attach that database to SharePoint 2010, one of two things will happen. Either those webs just won't render because the files don't exist, or they will render because you added those Fab 40 solutions to 2010. So which of those is you? The STP, so you're fine then. So if you have the STP-based Fab 40, they will upgrade to 2013, again, because they're based on a known good site template or site definition, team whatever.
All right. You're giving me indigestion talking about the Fab 40. So.
Yeah.
Rolling on. All right. So one of the downsides, back in 2010 we had the pre-upgrade check, right? We could run that in the 2007 environment that would tell us how well it was going to upgrade to 2010 within some reason.
And that was just a great tool even if you weren't upgrading.
It was. It just kind of a little health checker.
I was a big fan of the pre-upgrade check.
So that tool is gone. It has not reappeared in 2013. So now the only option we have is some PowerShell called Test SP Content Database. And so what that PowerShell is going to do is it's going to say, hey, all right, Mr. Database, what are all of the things that you need to render? What are the templates you have? What are the solutions you need? What are all those pieces you need? All right? And then it's going to say, Mr. Web Application, do you have all of these things? And it's going to spit out a report of anywhere there's a mismatch between the two pieces.
Yep. So one cool thing that they added, so Test SP Content Database was also in SharePoint 2010, and we also recommended that you run it when you're bringing things from SharePoint 2007. So one of the great things that it did was it said, hey, there are 15 instances of a web where we don't have the definition. We're like, awesome, where are they at? Yeah, we're not going to tell you. But hidden somewhere in this content database are 15 webs that aren't going to work. Go get it. And there was two or three different object types. So Shane and I know the guy that used to own Upgrade for this, and we talked to him. We kind of got him in a corner, intimidated him. That's a complete lie. He can't be intimidated. And we gave him that feedback. So now in SharePoint 2013, there is an optional parameter where you can tell it to show you the lines. So it will tell you there's 15 things that won't work, and then it will give you, sadly, the GUID of the web. But at least it gives you a hint as to where to go to find these things. So kind of my advice here is, before you run Test SP Content Database in SharePoint 2013, do a get help on it and see what all the parameters are, because they have absolutely added functionality since SharePoint 2010.
All right. So here's we can talk a minute for...
One other thing I just thought about. So there is no pre-upgrade check. And pre-upgrade check did more than just check for missing things. One of the SharePoint vendors, and my memory is horrible, it's either ShareGate or Metalogix, has made some sort of a tool that suggests that it does the same sort of things in SharePoint 2010. So go check that out. I've never used it. I just saw it a month or so ago. I don't know if it's any good. Somebody out there's got one.
All right, so features and solutions. So for the most part, your 2010 features and the solutions, right, those farm solutions you created, most of those will work in SharePoint 2013. So that's good news. And the reason for that is they've changed the model. So if you think back to when we upgraded from 2007 to 2010 and you attached a database, all of the content inside that database became a 2010 site collections, right, and 2010 content. And then we had the option of doing the UI mode, right, where we could say, hey, make it look like 2007. All right, now make it look like 2010. We could kind of flip back and forth. That was really ugly. I mean, it was better than what we'd had before. It was nice from that standpoint, but the grand scheme of things, it was ugly. What they've changed to in 2013 is when you attach the database, what's going to happen is the content database is going to become a SharePoint 2013 content database. But it is not going to touch any of the content. All of the site collections running inside of your 2013 content database are 2010 site collections. So that becomes kind of weird, right? Because it's, you can even provision new 2010 site collections in SharePoint 2013. But from an upgrade standpoint, it's great, because now we can worry about getting the infrastructure over, getting the databases upgraded, but not have to mess with the content at all. So one of the reasons they, or one of the reason I bring this up now is they had to ship all of the 14 Hive stuff with 2013 so that all your old solutions would work. And if you look at it from a developer point of view, when you run a solution, it looks in the 15 Hive first, and it looks in the 14 Hive, right? The code is built in all those smarts so that your 2010 solutions can still work in your 2013. We wanted to get those upgraded, get those using the latest bits, all the fun stuff there. But the good news is that they will work as you go.
Yeah, now don't, so Microsoft did a bunch of things to make sure custom code would work. They did the stuff that Shane talked about. They also, you know, as they shift DLLs around, they put a bunch of stubs in, so everything that you coded in 2010, even if the DLL names have changed or whatever, that should all work. But don't think that means you get to be lazy and just not look at any of that stuff. When you're doing an upgrade, it's a great time to look at the third-party solutions that you have and ask yourself, am I even using this? If I'm not using it, it doesn't get upgraded. If I am using it, is there a newer version out there? Have I, you know, have I stayed with what's comfortable and safe? Is there a newer version out there? If so, should I drop it on 2010? Because, you know, we'll handle both, or should I drop it in 2013 and get the newer version? If it's in-house custom code, then you need to go back to your developers and say, hey, is there a better way to do this now? Is the functionality that you wrote, is it built into the product in 2013? But even though things will work great if you do nothing, please don't do nothing. You'll regret it.
Right.
So his question was, do we need to recompile for .NET 4.0? I don't believe so. No. So there is a compatibility. So he asked about the compatibility level switch. When you install solutions, there's a bunch of framework in there that says this is a 14 or a SharePoint 2010 solution, or a 15 or a SharePoint 2013 solution. Honestly, we haven't done much with that. Now, I'm not a developer. I'm not a custom developer, so I've not had to play with that. But most of the stuff just works.
Yeah, the 14 solutions will just bolt right in, so it should be good with the compatibility level.
We got a question way back there.
I couldn't hear.
So, if you want to ask that again, come to a Microsoft mic. Yep.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Thank you. So it was just pointing out when you install the solution, there's a PowerShell commandlet parameter there, then you can tell it which one, if you want to go into the 14 only, the 15 only, or the all.
I know that. I was just stating that one.
So you helped us help.
Yeah. Honestly, haven't had to fuss with it much, honestly.
All right. So the good news there is a nice little blog post that I wrote. It's very unusual that I write blog posts, so enjoy that.
You wrote that a long time ago.
But that will actually suck all the solutions out of your 2010 farm, so it'll download all those for you, so you can then go take those to your 2013. So my one contribution to the blog space. All right. Getting close to getting into the actual demo. But so those are the two commands that we're going to run to get going, right? So test SP content database. We talked about how that does. We generally jump in, run that. And regardless of what it says, whether it's a happy command or a sad command, we're then going to follow it up by changing the word test to the word mount. And so then mounting SP content database is going to just immediately attach the database and start to upgrade it. There is a PowerShell commandlet called upgrade SP content database. We don't use that PowerShell commandlet for any of this. Upgrade SP content database is used more in conjunction with patching and those type of scenarios. It's not for this. So when you're when you're trying to upgrade, you use mounts. When you're trying to patch, you use upgrade. Whatever.
Yeah. One of the things I want to talk about. So like Shane said, we always just try it. Now don't mistake our cavalier attitude for that we don't test things, we're not thorough. You have to do all that. But there's this whole, book smart and, real life kind of thing. So you can read a bunch of blogs and see what you're supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. But just attaching the database and seeing what explodes and see what works is really valuable. It costs you almost nothing. The other thing that Shane talked about a little bit was when you mount the database, we're not upgrading the site collections like we did going from 2007 to 2010. When you mounted a content database in 2010 from 2007, it took a long time. It did a lot of stuff. It churned through everything, every web, every site collection, upgraded them all to 2010, and then it could put some lipstick on that pig and make it look like 2007 if you wanted it to. And then you just switch the display. Part of the SharePoint Online experience, part of one of the things, the benefits that we get, is when they do patching and things like that in SharePoint Online, they move the databases around. So they needed the database attached to be very fast. So now when you do this mount database, like Shane said, it mounts, it looks at the database, makes sure everything's good, updates a little bit of schema stuff on the database, doesn't upgrade the site collections, so it's much faster, much, much faster mounting your databases. So if you did the upgrade from 2007 to 2010, and saw how long that took, hours or days or whatever, and you're assuming that it's going to be the same going from 2010 to 2013, test it out first, because it's a radically different experience under the covers. Because now, as we're going to talk about later, you upgrade the site collections individually, and that's when the actual upgrade takes place. So look at that.
All right. So we have, so let's just jump to the demo. Right. Let's start demoing some
stuff. Get in there.
They're bored, I can tell.
I am. I get tired of hearing your voice.
So. I don't blame you. Okay, so this is the lovely VM that we fought with earlier, so same machine.
One note before Shane gets started, this is running Service Pack 1, came out last week or whatever, and you'll notice now in our ever-present red bar, it says, hey, we got some Yammer OneDrive stuff for you. So if you haven't looked at SP1 yet, one of the many things that it adds is the ability to make your social piece. You can take it out of the user profile service and put it into Yammer. And you also have the ability to have an on-premises portal and whatever, but move your My Sites out to OneDrive. That's sort of... So his question was, if you have an RTM SharePoint 2013 environment, can you go directly to Service Pack 1? The official answer, the responsible answer
the
is...
Correct answer.
The correct answer is no. You need the March public update first. I will tell you, though, that I have personally put Service Pack 1 on two RTM farms, test farms, of course, and it worked fine, and I've seen at least one Microsoft blog post that said that it works. I don't think it said it's supported, but it said that it works.
All right. So over here on my lovely little VM, I have got a database. So this is from my 2010 farm, claims for Todd. So, I know. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to open up SQL Server Management Studio. We're going to go in here to databases. We're going to right click and we got to restore that database. We're going to wait patiently as SQL Server decides to cooperate. We're going to hit device and then the ellipses, file, and add. And then we're going to browse for that file. Claims for Todd.
I almost drank your water.
That would have been yucky. All right, so we say okay, it's interrogating the file, it's all right. So it's like, hey, that's the name it used to have. There's the backup, so I'm gonna actually change the name. Oh, not right there, I'm gonna change the name right here. We will call this SPC. I don't know, you name the database whatever you want.
I like Todd is cool, I hear is a good database name.
That makes it not work. So we're gonna click okay. And once we do that.
All right, we had a question. Sir, did you have a question? Yeah, SP1 adds Windows Server 2012 R2 support, but you need the media with the new prereq installer baked in. Yes.
All right, so database restored successfully. So once the database restored, right, it's down here. One of the things that you need to do is you need to make sure that whatever account you want to run the PowerShell as, right? So whatever account you're going to RDP into your SharePoint server and run the mount and the test and all that, that account needs to have DBO of that database. So I'm going to go down here and we're going to use the install account. And we're going to open up then the user mappings for that one. Your VM is really fast.
I don't know what you did to my VM.
So I'm going to jump down here to the bottom. There's SPC. We're going to check that. And then say, hey, you have DB owner of that database. Yep. All right?
That is a pretty common
miss.
Yes.
All right, so SQL is executing my very delicate command. Boom. So now we have the database ready to go. So now I'm going to switch over to my SharePoint server. Oh, same box, whatever. And so we're going to run our friend the PowerShell. So with PowerShell, I want you to remember to run it as, make sure you run PowerShell as administrator. Let's see. There we go. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to do a test. Todd likes me to do this thing called start-transcript. Yep, right there.
Who uses start transcript in PowerShell? So this is one of my favorite commandlets ever. What start transcript does is it creates a text transcript of everything that happens in PowerShell. For upgrades, so it's a great thing. I do it every single time I open PowerShell, apparently including the time that I opened this one, because it keeps track of everything you type and everything PowerShell does, you know, responds back. For upgrades, it's invaluable because if you've got a big database that has a lot of things going on, when you run test SP content database, it could be thousands of lines of response. And your scroll back's only going to go up so far. So if you have your transcript on, you can just pop out to the transcript file and open it up. So big fun there.
All right. So test SP content database dash name, SPC, dash web app. And so for the web app, I've created one beforehand because it takes too long to do in front of you, called upgrade.contoso.com. And actually, before I do this, I want to show you something about that. So manage web apps. All right, so there's upgrade. And then if we go to application management, and then we go to, where are they? Manage content databases. So you can see that right now there's one content database attached to it, right? Because when you provision one, you have to attach a database, or you have to give it a database, and it created one. I always name it WSS underscore content underscore delete, so that way it reminds me that I want to get rid of it. So I'll come down here, say, hey, remove the content database. This keeps me out of trouble. And then depending on your feelings towards your DBA, you may or may not tell them that they can get rid of the database from over here.
Yep. So another piece of that is, if you're testing things, like, you know, we're, if you build your farm the way that I told you to build it on Sunday, you might create that upgrade.contoso.com. You have to create the database. But you might also create a site collection in there because you just want to make sure everything works. Before you start doing any of this crazy upgrade stuff, you want to be able to open up a browser, type upgrade.contoso.com in it, and see SharePoint so that you know that SharePoint's working and DNS is working and all that kind of stuff. So then what happens when you attach a database that's got your 2010 and it's always got that root site collection first? You attach that database to that web app. What happens? It explodes because there's already a site collection there with that name. So Shane's advice is good. Make sure to delete that database.
All right. So I got it out of SQL just to be a good little citizen.
Oh, thank you.
I know. Okay. So we're good. So now we're going to go back to that button.
How are Shane's Zoomit skills coming along, folks? Right?
I've been a Zoomit user for like 3 hours of my life now.
Why weren't you doing this yesterday? I don't know.
Somebody couldn't download it correctly. So test SP content database. It's interrogating that SP database. Hey, what do you need? What do you want to render in life? And then Mr. Upgrade Web Application, do you have all these pieces available? So do you have the solutions and the properties and all those things that I'm looking for?
Yep. So right now, this thing that's happening is taking forever. Where is the bottleneck for this operation? And don't say my laptop. Where is the bottleneck? So, okay, SQL Server, you're halfway there. Specifically what in SQL Server? I.O., SQL I.O. Upgrade always is the bottleneck, or SQL I.O. is always the bottleneck, but specifically in upgrades, because what's happening is the SharePoint server, where he executed this line, is saying, okay, test SP content database. That's really a list of stored procedures in SQL. SQL, here's some stuff, and just get back to me when you're done. The SharePoint server's not doing anything. It's all SQL. So make sure you've got good SQL I/O for this. So his question is about log files. I'm not going to get into a big whole thing because I've got this whole log file thing that I go through. But one piece of advice, so as we all know, the way SQL works is it writes to the log files, commits to the MDFs. When you're doing things like this, like testing upgrades and all that, turn your database to simple before you attach it. Two reasons. Number one, the thing that he talked to, if you leave it on full, there's a lot of changes going on in this database. And every one of those changes is going to make that LDF file as big as a house. If you have your database in the full recovery model, which gives you these big LDF files, why do you do that? For recovery purposes, right? You want to roll stuff back. You're never going to roll this database back. You're never going to say, I need this database to be in the middle of the upgrade, roll back. You never do that. So if you switch it to simple, not only will it not fill up your drive, it will happen faster, and then if everything goes to poop on you, you just restore the database again and start over. After you're done, then maybe switch it to full.
All right, so here you can see that I had one missing setup file. It's an error is true. Upgrade blocking is false. That's all I care about. This is one of those errors you just get because SharePoint's missing that little piece that we had in 2010. Not a big deal at all. So what I'm going to do is change this, and then Todd's going to tell you something after I finish typing this in. So it's the same command. We just changed test amount. And for those of you that have done this in 2010, what has been different so far? Nothing. This is all the same as it was in 22. All right. Well.
So one of the big pieces here, we saw this. This is a warning. It's kind of scary. But the big piece, like Shane said, upgrade blocking equals false. Go for it. Just try it. It's not going to block your upgrade. Have at it.
Yep. And that's honestly, as consultants, what we used to, or what we do with people, is we literally, most of the time, like, hey, can we just grab the database and try upgrading it and see what happens and go from there? Actually, one of someone's in here, actually. When we did their 2007, 2010, we had like 40 or 60 hours to do their whole upgrade. And the first day, I said, hey, let's just try it. We tried it, and it just worked. And he said, all right, what are we going to do for the other 60 hours? I'm like, that's exactly my point, right? Just try it. Don't make this thing complicated. Don't spend a lot of time studying it and trying to anticipate the errors. This is easy to test. No reason not just to try this out.
Yep.
Your screen is flickering. That makes me even more
nervous.
Yeah,
that flickering is not just on the thing. It's actually on the laptop.
It really is. So.
I blame Zoom it.
All right. So with the whole mount, so it's about to start kicking off. Just like in 2010, you do have all of your log files, right? C, program files, common files, Microsoft Shared, web server extensions. It's really sad the day I realized I memorized this path, 15/logs. So you're going to get a upgrade log per, per upgrade, you're going to get an individual upgrade log, and you're also going to get an upgrades-error log for each upgrade. The good news there is that the error file has pretty much all the details you really want. I have not opened an upgrade log file in years. I go straight to the error one, see what's going on there, because that's going to have the details I need. All right, this little guy still counts at 0.01%, in case you're wondering what it's doing.
Very precise.
And you can also come over here to upgrade migration. And we have the capability of central admin being really slow because now we're eating all the disk I/O.
Way to go, Shane.
I know. And here you can do review, check upgrade status. And this is going to show you all the upgrades that you've done. And in this case, the one that is actually running. So if you prefer to watch via the cute little GUI, it's definitely a way you can go.
Yep.
So the good news, like I mentioned, this is all the same as it was in 2010. All the new stuff is on the other side as soon as this finishes.
Only 72.18%.
Yeah, the good news is it jumps to 60 from here. 27 to 60, it's how math works.
Yep. Any other questions about this while my speedy laptop? I think, sir, I saw your hand first.
If you have features or solutions that are installed in 2010 that you're not using, and you have upgrade that, do we have to install them in 2010?
So his question is, if you have features or solutions that you're not using in 2010, but they're installed, yours is the one with the lid, do you have to install them in 2013? No. So there's a couple of things that we would do. There is a CodePlex project called what? Feature Explorer? Feature Admin, yeah. So the answer is no, and I would not do that. And one of the things that we haven't talked about a lot here is clean your stuff up. Don't upgrade crap. Don't upgrade site collections you're not using anymore. Don't upgrade third-party things that you're not, just don't upgrade crap. So no, I would not install that in 2013. You can use the Feature Admin or Feature Explorer, whichever it is, on 2010 or 2013 to go through and pull those out. But if you know you're not using them now in 2010, pull them out. In theory, all of your features should have been added by a solution, so retracting that solution should pull out the features. But yeah, I would clean all that stuff up whenever you can. I think you had some, sir?
Yeah, this demo you're doing right now, is that 2010 claims or classic?
That, I believe it's claims.
Yeah, so his question was, what was that 2010 database? It was a 2010 claims database.
Yep.
It doesn't. If you have a 2010 classic database, it doesn't change the process much. It doesn't change the steps that you go through. It's just kind of the error messages and stuff that you see along the way.
Yeah, and I guess the thing is, if that would have been a classic database, it would have told us in test SP content. Yeah, it'll tell you. And again, that is also not a upgrade blocking error. So what are my opinion on moving site collections from path-based to host name site collections? So for those of you that haven't done it, path-based site collections are the ones we talked about with managed paths, /sites, /teams, /collab, whatever. The ones we've been using since SharePoint 2003. Host name site collections are this idea that you can have a bunch of site collections with different host names, like hr.contoso.com, it.contoso.com, all in the same web application. I don't know that I would move them unless you had to, because that's just one more thing your end users have to remember. I used to go to contoso.com/site/IT. Now I go to it.contoso.com. Users frighten easily. They confuse easily. The more of that kind of stuff you do, the more they're going to call you. You don't like that. But moving forward, if this is something, even back in 2003, I had this request. You know, HR would come up and say, hey, we need a site collection for this. I'm like, here you go, portal.company.com/site/HR. And they're like, no, we're pretty important. We need HTTP HR. Make that happen. But in SharePoint 2003 and in 2007 and to an extent 2010, that just didn't manage well. It didn't work well. In 2013, it's not bad. So I don't know that I would change things that are in place, but moving forward, if people ask for that, I wouldn't just immediately stamp no on it. I would consider it. I had a question over here, too. Yeah, so he asked if I've got a web that is using one site definition, can I export it out, tinkle with some files, and import it back in? Number one, I'd have to test it, but I don't believe a export from 2010 will import to 2013. Back into 2010? Okay, all right. So then his thing is, I've got one of these Fab 40 things. I would never recommend that. He's going to go in and manually tweak the template. I wouldn't do that. It might work. I would never do it. Yes, sir? I thought we had a slide on that.
Yeah, why don't we jump back over the slides and you pound through some of those while I figure out why this little guy is... The crazy part is that I did this on Todd's laptop 4 hours ago, and it took 2 minutes to do this upgrade, and now...
And now that we switched over, yeah, it just jumped. So here are the things that are the same going, upgrading to 2010 and now upgrading to 2013. The commands that we ran, the fact that each upgrade job gets its own log file, which makes going back and finding things a lot easier. We have the error log. We can mount multiple databases at a time, so we can, like we should be doing on my laptop right now. We can open up multiple PowerShell windows on a single box and bring them up. Or if we have multiple SharePoint 2013 boxes in our farm, we can open up a PowerShell box on each box and mount multiple databases at a time. Now, if you do that, what is your bottleneck? SQL Server I/O, right. So you're not going to, you know, you're not sneaking anything by if you can open up 10 windows. The bottleneck is going to be SQL I/O, so test it out. Once you get past two or three at a time, SQL starts to get kind of hung up. But it is a thing, and we bring that up because with 2007, you couldn't attach multiple databases at a time. It got to be a problem. And the final one is another thing that's the same is look and feel are not upgraded automatically. One of the things that the upgrade team, one of their mantras was to do no evil, do no harm. And so they don't want to automatically upgrade your SharePoint 2010 site collection to 2013. So when you attach it to 2013, it's still going to look like 2010. Much like if you attached the 2007 to 2010, it had that 2007 web experience. So it's not going to. You're going to have to go through and manually upgrade all of your site collections, either with PowerShell or in the interface or something like that. Is it about this? Okay. Things that are new. Right now, when we do the upgrade, it only does the schema. So the idea behind this is that the database attaches and upgrades are very fast. They want to get that because upgrading a database from 2007 to 2010 took a long time. Also, they've gone out of their way to make sure that you don't bake in that upgrade of the site collection. They don't want you to have any way to make that go slowly. Visual upgrade is gone. So Shane talked about that a little bit, but it bears repeating. When we upgraded to 2010, all of our site collections were upgraded on mount, and they looked like 2007. And then at the web level, we could go into visual upgrade and say, don't look like 2007 anymore, look like 2010, and it just kind of flipped some things in the background. That's all gone. Now what happens is the site collection stays at the 2010 compatibility level. And then you upgrade the site collection, the whole thing, and you actually upgrade it to 2013. So with the visual upgrade, if you had the 2007 one, you flipped the bit, made it look like 2010, you went, oh, this looks horrible, none of my branding works, you could just switch it back. But since this is actually upgrading the site collection, there is no turning back. It's all actually upgraded. So the next slide is going to talk about how we handle that. Another thing, are you good?
Almost.
Okay.
Like one more minute.
Another thing is that going to upgrading to 2010, the upgrade happened when you attached the database. So obviously that was farm administrators. You weren't letting your users attach databases and stuff like that. In 2013, because this is the foundation for SharePoint Online, now the upgrade can be in the hands of the site collection administrators. So you can attach the database and not touch anything, and then when your users come in, they're going to see 2010 style with a thing across the top that says, hey, we can upgrade you to 2013. What do you say? And your site collection administrators can do it themselves. Take some time away from IT so that they don't have to do that. So that's optional, completely optional. If you want to rule IT with an iron fist and do these upgrades yourself, you have that option. But if you want to push it off on your site collection administrators, you can do that. And a couple of things that help them is they can do a test site collection. We're going to talk about that in the next slide. It will run some health rules inside the browser for them, so they can say, hey, test this upgrade. And if they've got custom web parts or custom master pages or something, it's going to bring that to their attention. And then it's going to expose the ULS log to them for their upgrade. So it's pretty nice. Another changes that they made is that the upgrade logs are in the same format as the ULS logs. So you can use the ULS log viewer to watch upgrades happen. You know, if there's nothing on TV, watch upgrades happen in real time, kind of watch that going.
So very close. As soon as you see a page pop up there.
Okay. So I talked about how the site collection administrators can do the upgrade themselves. Since you're actually upgrading the site collection, you're not just changing the style of lipstick on the pig, you're actually changing the site collection, you can't change back. So if you tested everything and you're very thorough, but then you notice that something doesn't work, you're kind of stuck. So we have this option of creating a demo upgrade. You go in and you say, I'm not quite ready to commit to SharePoint 2013 yet, but let me see what it looks like. So SharePoint's going to kick off and it's going to create another site collection. and it's going to make a copy of your 2010 site collection and call it whatever your site collection is, dash demo, or whatever you want it to be. And it's going to make a copy, and then it's going to upgrade the copy. So your 2010 site collection in 2013 is still running, and your users are still doing stuff, but we're creating the second one for you to look at. And that's where you test your branding and all that kind of stuff. And then after 30 days, look at you upgrading SharePoint. After 30 days or whatever, that demo site collection, that eval site collection will go away, and hopefully you've done your tests, and then you can upgrade it to the SharePoint 2013. And you're probably all asking, what does that look like? I wish I could see that in person.
Yay.
Take it away, Mr. Young.
So the upgrade finally finished with no errors, right? Hey, two site collections got upgraded. Yeah.
Way to go.
So I jumped over to my upgrade site collection, right? Looks just like 2010, like it's supposed to. Good job, SharePoint.
Way to go.
So we now have a nice big red banner across the top, right?
And you know, we all had the red banner in Central Admin. Kind of felt like the users were getting left out, right? They didn't get to enjoy a big red banner across their pages. That was only us.
It's true.
Sharing the love.
So only administrators are going to see this, right? But saying, hey, you can upgrade. Either do it now or remind me later. So we're actually going to go over to Site Actions, Site Settings. Probably should have warmed up this page too, huh?
Let me tell you a little bit more about the eval site collections.
No. All right. So down here at the bottom, we have two options we want to talk about. The first one I want to do is site collection health checks. So the big change here is it used to be us as IT pros kind of drove the bus on when upgrades happened and how to deal with all of that. This is all about empowering the site collection administrator to do all of these things for themselves. So one of those is we've now given the site collection administrator the ability to run site collection health checks. All right, I'll start my checks. This is going to run 7 different checks to look and make sure that do we have all the pieces that Microsoft can easily tell to go from the 2010 to the 2013, right? Because it's important to understand, we mentioned a couple times, this is a SharePoint 2010 site collection running in a SharePoint 2013 content database right now, right? So it's different. It's not just the lipstick on the pig. So we have a clean bill of health, right? Another snarky message. Good job, Microsoft.
So your site pass with flying colors.
Woo.
Go team.
So we're going to go back to site settings. And now we're going to look at the next step, which is site collection upgrade. And so here we're going to have 2 different pieces. Right? So we either have the option. Can you see that okay? Or do I need to
show us those Zoom It skills.
Pachow! It's like Lightning McQueen, right? Pachow! Too many kids' movies. I'm sorry. Anyway, so prepare for takeoff. So I guess that'd be planes, not cars. Darn it. With this, you'd have the ability now to create an eval site collection. And this is what you want to start. And this is where you realize how important this is. An eval site collection is going to take our current 2010 site collection, back it up, restore it to a new path, and then upgrade that site collection to 2013. So you're actually testing the real upgrade. It's not lipstick on the pig. It is a real upgrade, but it's a copy of your current site collection. So you're not worrying about damaging things for the users. So generally speaking, that's the first thing you want to do. Real quick. How does it affect? I've got a giant 1 terabyte site collection. What's going to happen? Okay, so what we're getting at here is, so if my site collection is, I've got a terabyte database and I've got 100 gig site collections, right? So when you do this backup, it's going to back up just the site collection. So it is only going to take that 100 gig database site collection, back it up, and then restore it. And so if you only have 1 content database available, it's going to have to restore it in that same content database. So hopefully we've got secondary content databases we can dump this into, hopefully on a separate set of spindles, right? Because disk I/O, that's the thing we always fight. So, but it is a very real concern you have to pay attention through.
Can you set what content database they go into?
Can you set what database they go into? No. So you have to do the thing where we manipulate SharePoint, right? We lock the one database, and so it has to go to the other database. Okay, so we're running out of time, so I'm going to power through this. So if I do try a demo upgrade, probably somewhere Zoom is hiding it from me. There you go. It says, hey, you want to create your upgrade evaluation site collection. Yes, you do. So I hit this, and it warns you. It's like, hey, this is going to take some time. It might be a couple days. I never read that part. I'm not going to lie to you. And for the first 3 months I played with upgrade, I was like, why doesn't this functionality ever work? Why can't I create this? What happens is that it now has went and created a task that runs on a timer job every night at 1 a.m. to create the upgrade eval site collection. So unless we're all going to sit here until 1 a.m., we probably need to manipulate the situation, right?
Do we have time?
We do. I'm going to pull this off, right? I got 5 minutes, 6 minutes.
Okay.
So if we go over to monitoring, and this is all documented in the slides as well, so you have the notes. And the bonus thing is at the end of the slides is a recording of me doing this whole demo, so you can go watch it on YouTube if you feel like I might have screwed this one up a little bit. So if I go in here to timer jobs and review job definitions, there's going to be a timer job called create upgrade evaluation site collection job. Yes. So right here, create upgrade site collection eval job. He sits right here. So we're going to go into this job, and we're going to take advantage of one of my favorite features they added back in 2010, the ability to run a timer job right now. So I'm going to run the timer job now, and if we go to running jobs, we may or may not be able to catch it run through. It doesn't, you know, it's literally like a meg or two, right? So it happens pretty fast. But so what it's going to do, there it goes. It's running 0%. Even Todd's bad VM, I don't think, can screw this up.
Oh, I don't know.
Tempting fate here. Uh-oh. Other jobs are finishing. Wow. All right. So what it's going to do, there, it's done. Yay. Is it went ahead and provisioned that. And so then an email got kicked off in the background to tell me as a site collection owner that that is now done. The trick I've learned, though, is if you go back to try a demo upgrade, this page is actually smart enough to say, hey, we see that demo upgrade was successful, and it gives me a link to it. So that way, if you don't have email set up in your test environment yet, you're afraid of spamming people with alerts and things like that during the upgrade, no problem. That's how you get back to the link. So then now you can see it created a new site collection in the same web app. And it used the path of root-eval, because this is the root site collection. For all your other site collections, so site/acme, it'll be just site/acme-eval. So they're not too hidden. But you can see it still looks like 2010. So what's happened is it created it. It made a backup. It created it for me. And now it said, hey, schedule me a timer job to run this the next upgrade cycle to upgrade this site collection. Those happen every minute. So if we start watching, and Todd's VM doesn't hate me.
It does.
It will. We'll actually be able to see the upgrade happen here. You'll also notice at the top, now there's a banner, and that'll be there for everyone that says, don't do work here, because this site collection is going to go away. That's another important point to communicate to everyone.
Yes.
You can't go and mess with this eval site collection and say, hey, I jiggled all the bits. It's exactly the way I want. Now let's just use this for production. Does not work that way. Right, this eval site collection is going to be deleted automatically in 30 days. Yep. So do not fall for that gag either. Do not let people be like, oh, I got it all working. No. You were able to use this. You were able to play with it. There you go.
And done.
Woo! So that actually happens even on good VMs.
Yep. So while we're waiting for that, there's a couple of things I want to show quick because we just got a couple of minutes. This upgrade thing has a lot of, you know, we talked about the I/O. So there's a bunch of throttling settings. On this slide, you can see there's throttling settings at the web app level, the database level, all that. Look at those. Understand those. They're all right here. The commandlets, all the stuff that Shane did so expertly in the interface, you can also do in PowerShell. So we've got that there. And a couple of things, again, search needs a lot of resources. Shane kind of did the whole crowd sourcing thing on that. Be careful with that. And then Joel Olson's got a blog post that talks about some stuff. And hit that. And then here, again, all of this stuff, this slide deck, all of the scripts that we've used all week long are at that top link. There is the YouTube thing of Shane doing that and some other stuff that we've done. And
that's the end.
And
you can switch back, but it's still pixelated. Okay, so this is still not finished.
Yep.
It literally took 45 seconds this afternoon when I did it. So now I'm back, though, at the original site collection, right? The actual production one. So with this one, if we say upgrade the site collection, then we get the option of I'm ready or let's hold off. Keep in mind, when you click I'm ready, it's going to schedule it, right? So it's going to, that timer job that runs once a minute, this site collection's now into that list. And then based on some of the parameters Todd mentioned, the different limits, the throttling pieces, it's either going to happen, you know, instantly, or SharePoint's going to say, hey, that one's too heavy, I'm going to kick it off and run it in the middle of the night when things aren't as going, right? My friend over here who had the 100 gig site collection, right? That site collection is not going to just try and upgrade it, you know, over lunch. It's nope. going to be like, you know, I'm going to do that tonight. How do I force it if I have a maintenance window?
You could force it.
Yeah, you can force the timer job. The other thing that you might consider for like the really big ones that you got to go hold its hand is you can do this, as Todd mentioned, with PowerShell. So we can run upgrade-sp site and do all these same things through the PowerShell interface. So yep. As an admin, I might just kick it off that way and force it to go. Yes, if you do the yep. PowerShell command, let's, the timer jobs yeah. are all out of the window.
So the idea being that your end users, if they're upgrading them themselves, they can't take the farm down. But if you've got somebody who has access to PowerShell, they're a farm admin, they can do it whenever. All right, one more question. Yes.
Can you run that eval for every site in PowerShell as well? An eval site?
His question was, can you create an eval site for every one of your site collections in PowerShell?
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
I've never tried it, but I'm guessing you can do some combination of get SP site pipe, blah, blah, blah. Understand that's going to beat the heck out of SQL, so I would be careful with that.
All right, I think we're at that magical hour. We get to say thank you.
Yep. And thank you very much. Please fill out your evaluations. If you've got questions, come up and ask.